This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
True North Store's beverage clubs just got bigger. Buy six Celsius, Pure Leaf Tea, Starbucks Energy, or Pepsi 1 liter flavors and get the seventh free. Whether you're craving an energy boost or just something to quench your thirst, we've got the drink for you. As a True Rewards member, sip and save with our clubs when you buy six and get the seventh free. Download now from your favorite app store for more details. True North Convenience Stores and True Rewards. Fast, friendly, clean.
Wow. What's up? I just bought and financed a car through Carvana in minutes.
You? The person who agonized 4 weeks over whether to paint your walls eggshell or off-white bought and financed a car in minutes?
They made it easy. Transparent terms, customizable down and monthly. Didn't even have to do any paperwork.
Wow.
Mm-hmm. Hey, have you checked out that spreadsheet I sent you for our dinner options?
Finance your car with Carvana and experience total control. Financing subject to credit approval.
It is Dukes and Bell, Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. We've been talking a lot about the tournament today, and there is nobody better to talk about it than Josh Pastner, former Georgia Tech coach, former Memphis coach, and of course now he's on ESPN. He's crushing it. He's doing an amazing job on the basketball shows there. And Coach, I was watching you over the weekend, and you guys are breaking all this stuff down, and we appreciate you jumping on with us here on the show. And I was like, man, you know, there's so much to the tournament. And I just want to talk about, you know, how excited you were when you guys got in just a few years ago. And you've been in the tournament many, many times. But it's such a moment for all of these programs, but certainly the programs that want to make a statement. Right, Coach?
Yeah, well, first of all, thanks for having me. And this is a great time of the year. And let me just say this. It is so hard to get to the NCAA tournament. It's so hard to win a possession in the tournament. It's so hard to win a game. So, you know, it's an amazing accomplishment, and you never take it for granted because it's just so hard to do. Look, I remember when I was part of the team in 1997, the Arizona Wildcats, that won the national championship. And, you know, that was my freshman year, and you're thinking you're going to do it every single year. Mm. And every year that goes by, you realize how almost impossible it was to do that and how fortunate and you are to be able to have that opportunity and cherish it. So look, this is just going to be a great tournament. You're in preparation mode right now for all the teams in it. And look, tomorrow starts the first four, and you know, Thursday, Friday, the first rounds, and you know, you lose a game, your season's abruptly ended. But by Sunday, we'll be focused. Sunday night by midnight or 11 p.m., we'll be focused on 16 remaining teams, and that's how quickly this thing goes. You play that entire season for this opportunity. When you watch all games throughout the season, it never says the road to the conference championship. It's all about the road to the Final Four. This is the playoffs. This is what it's about. And it's one of the most exciting times of any sport, you know, globally.
And Lute Olson was such a rootable guy for people that grew up on, like me, on the East Coast. He just seemed like such a likable guy and certainly a great guy to play for, Josh. The thing is, Josh, I don't know how Jason Terry and Mike Bibby got any playing time with you holding the rock.
Well, the reason we won the national championship was because I didn't get any playing time, and they were the ones who got the playing time. So Coach Olson, as you said, the absolute best, just an incredible, incredible human being. God rest his soul. Incredible coach. One of the greatest to ever do it. I mean, I don't know if people fully realize the greatness of what Coach Olson, of what type of coach he was, both evaluating player development, his system and his style, and won a whole heck of a lot of games, and that's why he's also in the Basketball Hall of Fame.
Studio analyst for ESPN College Basketball, NBC Sports. He's done stuff for Peacock Network and CBS as well. Josh Pastner joining us. All right, let's talk about the SEC. I've been saying this all day. Best basketball conference this year across the country. How does that prepare these teams as they enter the tournament? Because we're looking at some of the other competition that some of these SEC teams are going to play, Josh, and it's like, I think the preparation of the season has allowed these teams to be ready for this moment.
Yes, I would. Excuse me. I would agree with that. Look, they got 14 of the 16 teams in the tournament, which is just unheard of. It's an incredible league. And, you know, the league, obviously it passes the eye test with the numbers, with the level of play, the talent level. But it also passes the numbers test because of what happens in November and what they did in the non-conference part of schedule. That's how you get those numbers. Like when you hear, when people hear about quad one or quad two or net rankings, those numbers are all baked in from what happens in those games in November and early December. And the SEC, nobody did it better than the SEC. I mean, they were just incredible. They just took care of business. And that's why they are in the position they are in to have 14 of their 16 teams in. And I do think, what I would tell you is I would think that if they don't have two teams in the Final Four, obviously multiple in the second weekend, I would be surprised if they don't have two teams in the Final Four. I think for their hype that they've had this year, and it's been earned and deservedly so, they need to have multiple teams in the Final Four. I think they'll get at least two. And, yes, I think they'll be as battle-tested as anybody because of the level of competition that they've played night in, night out. Now, look, it's the NCAA tournament. It's on a neutral floor. It's a 40-minute game. Anything can happen because if you have an off night shooting, I mean, we all know the deal. You're the higher seed. You have an off night shooting. The crowd starts rooting against you. I mean, there's things out of control. It's not a 7-game series. But look, things are also different now. I mean, players are getting paid. I mean, players are, you know, so you can't, you know, guys are expected to produce, especially ones who have had the opportunity to get paid to perform at a high level, and guys are going to be expected to produce, especially this time of the year, and so it's going to even make it that much more pressurized of a situation. And so it's going to be interesting. It's going to be a great tournament. It's going to be an outstanding tournament. It's, and as I mentioned at the beginning, just best time of the year, but I do think it's very top heavy. I would be surprised that when the Final Four in San Antonio, like I said, I think two teams from the SEC is going to get in to the San Antonio. But I think out of the top eight seeds, the 1 and 2 seeds of all the four different regions, you're going to see four of those eight make the Final Four. I don't think you're going to see any like 3 seeds, 4 seeds, 5 seeds and below. I just think it's a top heavy deal this year, and you're going to see four of those eight teams going to be in that Final Four in San Antonio.
It is Josh Pastner with us, guys, former Memphis, Georgia Tech coach with us on the WadeFord.com hotline. That's the thing, Josh. I mean, the average age of Bruce Pearl's team is actually like older than the Oklahoma City Thunder. You know, I mean, I watch the St. John's documentary on Rick Pitino every week, and he's got guys like on their third team. So in the old days, like you'd have the one and dones would get beat by the mid-majors with guys who stuck around for 3 or 4 years. And now it just seems like, to your point, all the really elite teams have got like all-star teams.
Well, it's changed. I mean, so the NIL or pay to play, whatever you want to call it, you can say what you want about the negativity part of it or the challenges with it, should I say? But the positives are it's allowed the level playing field all across the country, where some certain players wouldn't go to some certain schools in the past, but now they're going to wherever. I mean, prime example is A.J. DeBanse, the number one ranked player in the country, is going to BYU next year. He's really good.
Right.
He's going to BYU because they could pay him what he wanted, and that's the reality of it. And so, it's also hurt high school recruiting. I mean, Rick Pitino, you talked about that Vice show with Rick Pitino. Right. He's talked about he doesn't want to recruit high school kids. He doesn't care if it's an All-American. He doesn't want to recruit high school kids. Right. You look at Rutgers, they got the number 2 and 3 pick in Ace Bailey and Dylan Harper probably, or reverse it, maybe Dylan's 2, Ace is 3, I don't know, but their season's over. And it's so because they're obviously pros, but they are they were young. They're the young team. And so you win with older guys. It's kind of get old, stay old, but instead of building that, you just get it in the portal every year. The other thing is the other thing is I do think, like, for example, Chad Baker Mazzara, who is 20 25 or 26. And now look, for Auburn, he plays for Auburn, and he needs to be better, by the way. He's a really good player and a high talented player, lots of talent. But, you know, he did get thrown out of the game last year against Yale in the first round, and they got and they lost in that final game against Alabama, got the flagrant two, got ejected, did not play good in their last loss, had like 9 points or nine shots. He's got to play better. But he's an older guy. He should play better. He's 25, 26. But I've heard that Coach Pearl wants to try to get him another year of eligibility. My thing is they've got to stop this eligibility thing. The NCAA's got to stop it. They can't be having these guys play when they're 27, 28, 26. You should have 4 years, and that's it. You cannot be keep adding additional years. I understand the financial aspects of it, of wanting to stay in college, because a lot of guys might never have the chance to play NBA basketball and make as much money for playing hoops as they are right now in college. But there's got to be a cutoff stamp. There's got to be a cutoff point. They've got to not allow guys playing 6, 7 years of college. You got 4 years, you know, maybe five if there's a redshirt year or whatever, and then there's got to be an age limit at some point. There's got to be an eligibility. I understand there's certain circumstances based on maybe there's military exemptions or religious exemptions or maybe another exemption somewhere, but just continuing to try to find ways to get another year, I just think there's got to be some point where guys got to be able to move on for college athletics to continue to stay healthy, because I don't think it's for for competitive balance. You know, a high school 18, 19-year-old playing against 26, 25-year-olds is what the model was initially supposed to be. We can change with the NIL. We can change with the portal. That's not going anywhere. And that's okay. That we got to all accept it and embrace it and be excited about it. But the eligibility part has got to have a stoppage at some point.
Right. It's a great point. And I don't think it's made enough. Josh Pastner joining us, guys, former head basketball coach and now studio analyst for ESPN College Basketball and doing a lot of different work, talking about the NCAA tournament. How good is Florida, Josh? They're talented. They're deep. They're physical. The thing I love about them is they can win in different ways, which going into the tournament, that's how you have to be, right?
Look, this is what's great about being an analyst, okay? I think Florida's the best team in the country, and they're the absolute best right now. There's no one's playing better than them. I mean, they can just wear you out with great depth, guard play, front court play, how fast they play, their conditioning. But I think they've got the hardest two seed of all the two seeds they got to go against, and that's against St. John's. And I think St. John's is playing as well as anybody in the country. And because, as I mentioned about being an analyst, I'm picking St. John's to get out of that region. Why? I just said, what the heck, be something a little bit different.
Thank you.
Here's the thing, though, with St. John's. But if you focus on that matchup, assuming they're both in the Elite Eight, which I think they will be, it's all about how the officials are going to call that game. When you watch that game, if they both get there, it's about how the officials officiate that game. St. John's fouls a lot. If you look at their defensive numbers, they are so good. And it's sort of like football. You know, you hear the thing, you can't call holding every single penalty. Just holding probably every play. They're not going to call. St. John's, the physicality that St. John's plays defensively, they almost foul every possession, but you're not going to call it every time because they play with great physicality. And you look at their numbers defensively, they're elite. It's whether how they call that game against Florida. If they call it tight from the start and boom and start whistling right from the beginning, that is going to be a disadvantage for St. John's. If they allow them to play a little bit in those first two media timeouts, you got to look for St. John's to have an advantage over that over Florida, because they can eventually just wear you down with what they do on the defensive end.
What about Tom Izzo? I mean, he's such a great coach. And it's easy for us to say, now they're a two seed in the South. But I really like the way Michigan State's playing. And this is the kind of year where Izzo might just creep up and end up in a Final Four, you know? I mean, they got to go through Auburn, but I really like his team.
Yeah, well, they weren't picked to win the Big Ten regular season championship. They won the Big Ten regular season championship, a really good basketball league. He calls it strength in numbers. They're playing about 10 deep. They've got a really good freshman in Jace Richardson. Jason Richardson's son, who played at Michigan State for Tom Izzo and played in the NBA for a long time. They've got a good team, and I capitalize team, T-E-A-M. That's who they are. They're a very good basketball team. They get you in rebounding. They get you in the glass. On the backboards there, they get you in offensive transition, and they beat you up on the defensive end. They're very similar to St. John's. They're not a great three-point shooting team, just like St. John's. Not a great three-point shooting team, but they get you in other areas of winning areas, and they play and they kind of wear you down because they play 10 guys, and he calls it strength in numbers. So I like this Michigan State team. I don't think they're going to win at all. I would be surprised if they even got to the Final Four. I do not see them getting past Auburn or even Texas A&M if either one of those two continue to make it through. But they're playing as well as anybody. You can never count out Tom Izzo. I do think they obviously get to that second weekend, and then from there, whether that's the Sweet 16 or Elite Eight, but I just do not see them being good enough, in my personal opinion, to get to San Antonio.
And real quick, Josh, your take on Gonzaga and Georgia. Mike White, you guys had a year of overlap. You were still at Tech when he came into UGA. And, you know, this is where it's kind of like put up or shut up. You know, got to make a run. Can they handle Gonzaga, who you could argue, what would Gonzaga look like if they played an SEC schedule?
Yeah, well, look, Gonzaga's really good offensively. It's going to be, Mike White's team at Georgia's, they're big. They're good defensively. They get you on the backboards. But Gonzaga, if you look at their numbers offensively, there are a very, very high.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
March Madness is here, and if you want to enhance the experience, join me, Gary Parrish, and my colleague Matt Norlander on the Ion College Basketball Podcast, part of the CBS Sports Podcast Network. We have new episodes at least three times a week and at the end of every night of the NCAA tournament. So before you go to bed, hang with us or know we'll be there when you awake. We'll break down games, make picks against the spread. Most of all, we'll have a blast. So join us on the Ion College Basketball Podcast on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcast.
Level offensively, they're shooting percentage. They are an efficient shooting team. Graham Ek is a load inside, so mm-hmm. That's going to be a matchup, issue for, how they handle him. Ryan Nembhard, their point guard, is one of the either first or second in the country in assist. They move the ball. They got great spacing. But as you guys, as we talked about at the top of the show. They haven't been battle tested like Georgia has in that league. And so, but that is my point, is you've got to now earn it. You know what I mean? It's, and I'm not just talking just on Georgia, it's everybody in the SEC because of the talk about that league, deservedly so, they've earned it based on the numbers and having 14 teams in. Now you've got to go win these games in the tournament to kind of back it up, if that makes sense.
Right.
And that's a prime example. Like Georgia should beat Gonzaga Gonzaga is very good, but based on the tested throughout the season, as you just mentioned, could Gonzaga have had the same record as Georgia this year going through the SEC? I don't think so. But, again, it's a one-game scenario on a neutral court. Who knows? But if you just do it strictly based on being tested, you've got to give the favor to Georgia.
Josh, great job. As always, man. Enjoying you on TV. How's Pops? How's everybody? Everybody's good?
Everyone's doing good. Thanks for asking, and all's good. And great upcoming. I'll be doing March Madness live. So if you on the app, if you catch on Fast Break for this next four on Thursday through Sunday with Turner, I'll be on that. So absolutely. I'll be in studio there. You can get the March Madness live app, the NC2A app, and the March Madness app, and watch on your phone, computer, and you'll see me in studio.